Attention. 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 Some news that is highly essential of the state of minorities in USA. Ruskin writes, "The overall success of the white power structure has been managing to bind the whites together in defense of the status quo by skillfully playing on the imaginary bogey, black minority Indian peril. They have managed to convince even diehard liberals that there is something to fear in the idea of the black man assuming his rightful place at the helm, USA, integration and leadership. Thus, after years of silence, we are able to hear the familiar voices of Jensen, leading economist, Dr. Alan Payton in Britain, as far away as London, saying perhaps apartheid is worth a try in the USA and in England, and the labor movement, the present government of England, said as much today. At whose expense, said the black columnist Dr. Patton, asked this intelligence black journalist, this very moderate black journalist who has been selling out for such a long time. Hence whites in general reinforce each other, goes on the black columnist to say, even though they allow some moderate disagreements on the details of subjugation schemes. There is no doubt that they do not question the validity of white Christian values. They see nothing anomalous in the fact that they alone are arguing about the future of 26 million blacks in the land which has been made primarily by black people and stolen from the Indians, to whose the people, it was their natural backyard. Any proposals for changing or change emanating from the black community or minority community are viewed with great indignation today in the USA, as racism has never been worse. Even the so-called opposition has the nerve to tell people of color that they are asking for too much since the Bakke decision, editorial after editorial across the nation, in most every newspaper in every community, is saying the poor, blacks and Indians, are asking for too much. A journalist from the liberal newspaper, like the New York Times, describes a black student who is only telling the truth as a militant, impatient, radical young man. It is not enough for whites to be on the offensive. So immersed are they in prejudice that they do not believe that blacks can formulate their thoughts without white guidance and trusteeship. Thus, even those whites who see much wrong with the system, capitalism, make it their business. He doesn't elaborate the system, but that's what we know it is. All of this is boiled down in economics, like the cleometric theory that's being promoted by a lot of blacks and saying blacks will have to realize their place in society as the robot slave, more or less. That's not their words, but to do the servant work that every community has to have. And blacks are even promoting this damn concept. Even those whites who see much wrong with the system make it their business to control the response of the blacks or Indians to the provocation. No one is suggesting that it is not the business of liberal whites to oppose what is wrong. However, it appears to this writer as too much of a coincidence that liberals, few as they are in USA today, should not only be determining the modus operandi, the method of operation, of those blacks and Indians who oppose the racist class system, but also leading it in spite of their involvement in the system. To us it seems that their role spells out the totality of the white power ruling structure. The fact that the whites are our problem, it is still other whites who want to tell us how to deal with that problem. The basic problem in USA has been analyzed by liberal whites as being one of unemployment. They argue that in order to oppose this kind of second-class citizenship that causes unemployment, less pay, inadequate housing, poverty, stench-ridden, crime-ridden streets, we have to form non-racial groups. Between these two extremes, they claim, lies the land of milk and honey for which we are working. The thesis, which is a Marxist concept, you know, the triangle of Hegel, the antithesis and the synthesis have been mentioned by some great philosophers as the cardinal points around which any social revolution revolves. For the liberals, the thesis is today racial separation, class distinction. The antithesis is non-racialism. But the synthesis is very feebly defined. They want to tell blacks that they see integration as the ideal solution in a community that will always be racistic because blacks and Indians are outnumbered 20-1. Black consciousness defines the situation differently. The thesis is in fact a strong white racism, and therefore the antithesis to this must ipso facto be a strong solidarity amongst the people of color on whom this white racism seeks to prey. Out of these two situations, we can therefore hope to reach some kind of balance, a true humanity where power politics, racist politics, will have no place. The concept of integration, whose virtues are often extolled in white liberal circles, is full of unquestioned assumptions that embrace white values. It is a concept long defined by whites and never examined by blacks in the Uncle Tom environment. Now, this is a black liberal at best. He's talking about Uncle Tomism, and he really is concerned about racial genocide, though he's not a socialist. It is based on the assumption that all is well with the system, apart from some degree of mismanagement by irrational conservatives, racist at the top. This is white man's integration, an integration based on exploitative values. It is an integration in which blacks will compete with black and other people of color, like Indians and Chicano, using each other as rungs up a stepladder leading them to white values. It is an integration in which the black man of color, will have to prove himself in terms of these values before meriting acceptance and ultimate assimilation, and in which the poor will grow poor and the rich richer in a country where the poor have always been people of color, black and Indians. We do not want to be reminded that it is we, the indigenous people, who made this nation, such as the Indians and the blacks, who were the willing and sometimes unwilling, mostly unwilling slaves, who are the poor and exploited in the land that should be actually, by birth, the Indians. These are concepts which the black consciousness approach wishes to eradicate from the black man's mind. Black consciousness is an attitude of mind and a way of life. The most positive call to emanate from the black world for a long time, its essence is the realization by the black man, the people of color, of the need to rally together with his brothers and sisters around the cause of their oppression, the blackness of their skin or the brownness of their skin, and to operate as a group to rid themselves of the shackles that bind them to perpetual slavery and servitude. It is based on a self-examination which has ultimately led them to believe that by seeking to run away from themselves and emulate the white man's Christian values, they are insulting the intelligence of whoever created them, black and brown. The philosophy of black consciousness therefore expresses group pride and the determination of the black people of color to rise and attain the envisaged self. Freedom is the ability to define oneself with one's possibilities held back not by the power of other people over one, but only by one's relationship to God and to natural surroundings. Of course, this is a believer, you know, one who believes in deity, and the basic free enterprise system has up till now. On his own, therefore, the black man wishes to explore his surroundings and test his possibilities. In other words, to make his freedom real by whatever means he deems fit. Seems like they're now talking Malcolm's language. Some of the moderates are seeing what's happening. Why? Well, there's good reason. Housing discrimination, exclusionary zoning laws. 81 cities last week had burning crosses of the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis in their neighborhood. White cops have clubbed black teenagers in 18 cities in the past days. Anti-busing demonstrations are in every city as the school year approaches again this fall. Blatant instances of racism all over USA. But racism can also take subtler forms, as with exclusionary zoning laws in the suburbs, which ban now all low-income or multi-unit housing, effectively barring all minority people of color, Indians, Chicano, Asians, and blacks, and to a lesser extent, even the working-class white people. Two studies written for, but refused to be endorsed by the Department of Housing, even though it's headed by an uncle, an Aunt Jane, and urban development, revealed last week that zoning laws in Connecticut are in. The Suburban Action Institute report noted that Connecticut's Hispanic and black populations, Indian populations, are concentrated in the central cities, while job opportunities are expanding only in the lily-white suburbs. The no-welcome signs are everywhere to national minorities and the poor working-class families, reflects fears of uncontrollable influxes of any people of color into the domain of suburban areas or in the country areas of USA, the study said. The State Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities, which issued the second report about Connecticut, reflected on a study of housing discrimination it made 10 years ago and noted that with the proliferation, the spreading of exclusionary zoning laws all over the USA, only the techniques of discrimination have changed. They're more severe. It's a system of apartheid where blacks and Indians are forced to live in the central decaying areas of the cities. According and set up beautifully for annihilation, the Human Rights Commission said. They even mentioned it in Connecticut. Set up beautifully, in other words, to be bombed out with a neutron bomb and eliminated, because they can spell down the neutron bomb to within so many square yards and thus effectively kill every living thing and have the property saved for business interest. According to the commission report, in Connecticut, Human Rights Commission, 149 municipalities in Connecticut alone remain totally white. On the other hand, 20 of the largest cities with the largest concentration of old housing contains 85% black and 95% of third world population, Indians, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, that is, so forth and so on. The State Commission surveyed 160 Connecticut cities in detail and found that 30 ban multi-unit housing under any circumstances. Only 3 allow such housing for the elderly, and that only. Local governments in 114 cities and towns prohibit trailer homes, and 77 municipalities require single-family homes to be constructed on lots of more than 20,000 feet, which cost at least $70,000 and bar any person of color or the poor whites from owning it. Who can afford $70,000 minimum USA? The two reports, according to the commission, do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Housing Department, U.S. federal government, went on to say they will not be adopted. They're unrealistic and unworkable. Well, that's where it is. Now, Alabama has asked the commission to preserve the peace and state sovereignty commission. Colorado has closed down agencies overseeing boxing, licensing, sanitarians, and shorthand reporters. The elimination of these state agencies came after the respective state legislatures adopted sunset laws, a new, horrible form of racist reaction. These laws mandate the periodic review of state agencies and the automatic termination of these departments unless renewed by state legislatures. 27 states have passed sunset laws since Colorado pioneered the concept last year. A Maryland bill is awaiting the governor's signature right now. Two proposals are currently before the U.S. Congress, and President Carter has endorsed the idea. What are the ramifications of these sunset laws? They are reactionary. As with some other so-called reforms, such as fixed prison sentences, for example, it depends on how the sunset laws are implemented, and they're all being implemented against people of color. And the danger signals are very evidently emerging. The Colorado branch of Common Cause postponed the first sunset law in 1975 as a means of pressuring for more agency accountability. All we ever said was that sunset could make government more accountable and efficient, conservative lingo for racist practices. But since that time, both conservatives, now and liberal fiscal hardliners, have united behind the sunset concept as a method of curbing so-called big government, which they mean government aid to the poor, the blacks, and the minorities, as the state of California, Oregon, and Michigan have absolutely cut back all such services. And education now, there will be, the education's a farce, having to conduct their schools in basements of churches and other places, even in San Francisco, 3,000 students. And, say these liberals and conservatives supporting the sunset laws, they're reducing what they deem to be excessive bureaucracy. But what they really mean is all of the programs, job trainings, and job centers, and all of the various, I've forgotten the name of it, that was in San Francisco that's now been killed by the law, the people's will, the referendum. All of those, what is it, opportunities, what is the name of that? I can't think of it. Someone want to fill me in? John, my John Sr. would know. And a number of activists have warned that business forces may turn the sunset concept to further weaken regulatory agencies and to gut all social services to the poor, and particularly black and Indian Chicano. In Colorado, for example, the state's sunset provision afforded the Division of Insurance an opportunity to emphasize to legislators that it did not have enough staff to adequately keep tabs on the insurance industry, but instead of building up the regulatory body, the legislature cut the insurance division's workload by deregulating much of the insurance industry, allowing again for racist practices in insurance where whole neighborhoods will not be insured and they form racial lines directly correlating with the Indian and black community. Well, that's the goddamn state of things. It's a bad situation. And I want to tell you, repression against labor is very evident. Workers were fired for striking. A three-week strike by 1,000 copper miners in the Oak Flat mine in Superior, Arizona, ended a few days ago when the company fired the 350 instigators. The strike was over new work schedules that allowed workers only one weekend off every 3 months, with only half days off every 6 or 7 days. The strike was opposed by the local leadership, for Christ's sake, of the United Steelworkers, and naturally the AFL-CIO, that's always been one of the puppet bosses for capitalism under Meany. And district and international officials of labor opposed this strike, but the union said it would take the dismissals through the grievance procedure, which normally takes at least 2 years. 2 years, and nothing will be done about it. Nothing will be done about it. Well, that's the kind of situation you have of the repression that is growing in USA as the capitalist economy is more and more threatened. Back to the news that we are now listening to. Under the library, it should have continued. You didn't need to stop it. But I just wanted to give you an idea of what the hell is going on back there along racial lines. Now continue with the rest of the news, and please, please listen, because you will be evaluated, you will be tested tonight. People
say, to you who look at the capitalistic glamour, I can't imagine how you're doing any thinking. I know you can't start caring until you do thinking. But let's do some thinking. Since the first part of this year, just to take one thing, the price of meat, all beef products, has gone up 79%, almost double since the first part of this year. Lettuce has gone up 30%, potatoes nearly the same. And there's a general 17% rise in food prices since the first of this year. But the president is mouthing off for wage controls all the time. And to set an example, the big corporate leaders have said none of their executives will receive more than a 5% wage increase. But that it doesn't mean much, you see, when these big corporate sell-off executives are making $200,000 to $800,000 a year, a 5% increase is considerable. That would mean if they were making $200,000, they would get $210,000 a year. And if they were making $800,000, their increase would be $45,000 a year. But Carter has obviously decided that there is only one way to control inflation. And the Voice of America is ringing it out loud and clear. Cut back on expenditures. And so that's what's happening. The only way they're going to stem their inflation even to a little degree to keep capitalism from falling apart right now is to cut the purchasing power of the people by deliberately creating massive unemployment and holding down wages that way. He's already making noises, Carter is, very loud and clear. He said, with promising assurance, there'll be ceilings on the budget next year and a drastic budget cut next year. And the Federal Reserve Bank is letting interest rates rise. These are the standard first steps in the capitalist trade-off for less inflation by having far more unemployment. Already we've been hit in the belly, you who are black, where are you going? We had over half of our black youth unemployed. He said, well, you always got a job. Yeah, and you had something behind you. Jim Jones, movement, connections, and then a certain miraculous thing that's been very good for us, been very good to us. Where are you going? California has passed a Proposition 13. It cuts out all job services for minorities. All those programs you knew, CETA and so forth, they're gone. 800 people lost their job one Friday afternoon. That's what they told us right over the radio. Jim Ingram's boss, who voted for Proposition 13, lost his job. It's a hell of a mess. Now, if you'd pull together here, instead of wasting so much time. And the administrators will naturally bring it about, but we'd like to see it brought about cooperatively. Here I'm bringing in 6 months' food supply on our freighter at a cost of what? $675,000. Nearly two-thirds of $1 million. Now where in the world could you be more secure than that? And don't talk to me about you come to fight a war and liberation. When you are still an egotist and you still glamorize your relatives who beat women and who pass dope, when you talk about being like people in that sick, filthy Uncle Tom's sellout environment, don't talk to me about that. You're not ready for guerrilla action. You just want romantic notions of jumping from place to place. The NAACP just closing their convention today in Portland, Oregon, has said to the president unanimously, you must get on nationwide television and dispel the notion that blacks are to be cut out of U.S. society, that blacks have already had too much done for them. Already, just days after the Bakke decision, NAACP convention has declared that there's an attitude of racism prevailing all through the country. That Bakke, the decision was saying, the highest court of the land was saying for the U.S. people, cut back on blacks, Indians, poor whites. Some of you who are poor white, you are foolish. You're not more talented than the miners, more trained. Didn't they last 115 days till their babies were nearly starving? Nobody gave them any help. And they're still on their bellies in the mines. You're a nigger just like me. You're a field worker just like your father. So you too need to identify. And you who are Jews, you should listen to the radio. Secretary of State Vance indicting Israel over and over again, because Israel's getting to be a heavy burden. Sure, they catered to the Jews in USA for a while, but do you think that possibly 5-6 million Jews are going to affect national policy when Arab oil is buying up the greater bulk of property? One state alone, 2/3 of the property is in the hands of the Arab oil-rich nations who hate Jews? Surely, my friend, you're forgetting who you are. You're forgetting how bad anti-Jewish feeling was. You got a perfect setup in USA, according to sociologists who were gathered at a recent Antwerp meeting in Europe. A perfect setup for genocide in USA, because there's no national heritage. There's no sense of national unity. There's no sense of national loyalty. U.S. is fragmented in hundreds of different ways. It never has known imperialist domination in a colonial sense that they can remember. Yet there's only one patriotism, the domination of the cut dollar, the domination of capital. And loyalty is based on that alone. Not that you love your neighbor or do goodwill for your neighbor, that you must protect property. That's the law of patriotism in USA. That you must give your lives on the battlefields for property. This is the dreadful reality. If you can't identify with what's going on in South Africa, the voices that have been stilled in the past days, like Steve Biko, and now all of his family jailed. As I said, in a nation that's got a lot of black consciousness because of 17 million blacks. Yes, 17 million blacks in a land which is their natural backyard of the black people. It belonged to them. You only got just less than 1 million whites, my child. Don't you see something very discouraging in that fact? That they are arguing still whether 17 million blacks that outnumber whites 14-1? Because I think there's something wrong with my statistics, but I do know that there are 17 million blacks and they outnumber whites 14-1, that they can't even get self-respect in their own backyard. And the whole world is viewing USA with great indignation. And yet our tax dollars put $1 billion, that's $1,000 million already now this year. When blacks are wandering around without jobs, already we had 50% unemployed when we left. God only knows how many now, with the cutbacks and the white racist reaction of passing all these Proposition 13s throughout the United States, beginning in California, sweeping up to Oregon now, stopping all property tax. Any more property tax denied. Cutbacks in property tax, because the white people say openly on their placards that show in Time magazine, we're tired of supporting niggers, Chicanos, Indians. And those middle class whites are also saying they're tired of helping the poor whites, which all of you were, who are white here, who never made it. You're very, very stupid. We have a family, a unitary movement with a leader who looks after every one of you like his own baby. And yet you won't give a helping hand to sustain that, to help put leadership in yourself that can carry on the great ideals that he has put upon his shoulders. How much of a prisoner he has been all these years. Because every minute on this phone, reading material, answering someone's problem. And if your problem's not being solved, it's only because you're not writing me about it. Because I always work to correct every injustice. Some of you are persistent in an idea of narcissism, that the grass is always greener on the other side. You'll never have grass as green as this. You'll never again have this chance. This is the best possible place to be. A guy on a government is moving carefully in a non-aligned position. Thus, USA will give assurances that there will be no invasion from Venezuela, or Brazil, or from Suriname. Yet the nation's moving on with cooperatives, and it's allowed us to live as we please. And there's no change in sight for that. We've had that double assurance, no matter what happens. There would be no change in sight for us to have the right to live as we choose. What a privilege to be in this fertile, rich part of the world, the only place that anthropologists like Margaret Mead said can survive. What a privilege that our children have that right. See, I don't want to live, but how selfish you are. Why don't you look at yourself? All these years you've been talking about socialism and you want to be true to a revolution. Why don't you love the little children that are right here in our hands a little better than that? To you that wants Guyana to become militant and to be pro-Soviet, let's just look. Let's just look at ourselves. When you can't even love children enough to keep from looking back to USA, to hamburgers, and relatives, and the wretching, stench-ridden streets of violence that killed Malcolm X. All must see Malcolm X someplace, and I think we'll see it again tonight, and all must see it. Everyone must see it again, because I'm going to test you over it thoroughly. I want you to look at it square in the teeth. I don't care what you think won't work. I don't care how many problems you think you see here. I want you to look at that television tonight. See Malcolm X. See how he tried. Not even a socialist. He just tried to bring black people, working class people together in a religious sense. And how they wasted him. And the utter despair and hopelessness. And nobody's ever taken his position. Not only have they taken away the militant voices of black leadership now, but down go even the Uncle Toms. Senator Brooke, who's whiter than I am, but he's black and they don't want one black senator in the USA. You're forgetting some of you young Turks. You say you're a socialist, you want to be a guerrilla. Some of you want to be the left in the States even, to take care of mopping up the enemies. That's very strange, when you're not prepared to get all that lust to identify with your family, and whatever you thought was tasty back there, that you still find yourself openly speaking about it, which should be considered an absolute taboo in this community, and should be reported immediately, that when a society can castrate 6 young black boys, a mob of whites can do that. And when in today's news, Nazis cause physical harm to many blacks and Jews in Chicago, as the elaborations come in, Jewish property broken up, and the Nazi leaders were not, even the ringleaders were not, put in jail? Oh, come on, child. And the NAACP calling for a nationwide speech by the president to dispel the notion that blacks have had too much already? That's wishful thinking. He'll never do it. Because the climate of race hate and anti-Semitism and anti-black and anti-Indian feeling was whipped up by the establishment. Why in the hell else have they divided us all these years? It's worked in their interest to keep only one patriotism, the patriotism to the dollar, to U.S. capital. So you're just following a dream, which will turn into a nightmare if you were back there, because you're so narcissistic, you never have like routine, you really don't want to be a gorilla. You haven't even become a good socialist because you don't want to follow a routine. I don't think I like this routine that I'm in. When I think of my good comrade Steve Biko, I think of Malcolm shot down before his baby's eyes. When I think of Martin's children who had to grow up without a father figure image, and still living wondering when they'll be next, because no one who is black or Jewish or poor white knows whether they have another day. And I'm not even yet discussed nuclear war, which hangs over their head like the sword of Damocles. USA's saber-rattling now and telling the Jews, even if they do have a bomb, you're endangering the whole world. And yet the USA is following a policy that is so dangerous. They're involving themselves in public attacks every hour on the Soviet Union for the handling of 2 political prisoners, they call them, Chomsky and Ginsburg, who were Zionists. They're involved in this not because they're concerned about Jews, because, but the one hand, they're whipping Israel and absolutely determined that Israel is going to give up the land that she has, and she will be bottlenecked because she has no oil. And that's all that's going to count in the final analysis. But to trick a few Jews, Carter's making all kinds of pretenses about his concern about 2 Zionist agitators in the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union called his bluff. He said, well, there'll be no further negotiations, even on arms. The Soviet Union today called his bluff and said, we will persist in our own right to rule, to govern our people, to establish our own laws, and our courts will punish those who violate loyalty to the socialist system in the Soviet Union. So now what's going to be done? No negotiations on nuclear weapons as they proliferate. 35 countries going to have them before you can snap your finger? Oh, you are guessing. You are dreaming. You are foolish. And I hope that you hear your father's heart. I don't know how to get a consciousness, a Jonestown consciousness, more than a black consciousness. God, surely you can see that. Everyone should have a black consciousness here. You're poor white. You're Jewish. You're black, all like us. You're in one bag. And you can see the thesis. In fact, is a very, very clear thesis in that dialectical triangle. White racism on one side. And therefore, the antithesis to the must be a strong solidarity among all people of color on whom this white racism in USA has preyed so long. But there is no solidarity, not even amongst the blacks. Only in that possibly could you hope that a situation would come, would reach some kind of balance, a true humanity, where power politics would have no place. I don't mean just blacks would have to be the antithesis against that horrible thesis of white racism and brutal capitalism. It would take a solidarity of all the working class. You haven't even got blacks together, child. You listen to Malcolm tonight and you'll see the man openly saying, I'm proud of being an Uncle Tom. Well, one after another, they've killed off our good leaders, and now they're not even satisfied to have figurehead leaders around. They're chopping them down. But I have some who are white, some who are Jewish, some who are black. You constantly identify with that system. To quote one sociologist in Antwerp, Johanna Voyen, her statement was, the genocide that USA will go into because of the contradictions and the social antagonisms will outdistance anything that has ever been seen before. Hitler's Germany, the murder of Armenians, and even Attila the Hun. Because there is no sense of loyalty, there is no sense of sensitivity, there is no sense of humanity in USA. Now USA can fight with mercenaries, can move people for a while before the nuclear war comes and pounds us into the dust back there, burns like the scorching of the sun. They can manipulate others so we don't have to worry. The only time we ever got worried in Vietnam was when white sons were dying. Too many of them were dying in Vietnam. But that's not a problem anymore, you see. You can hire starving blacks from South or Northwest Africa. You can still hire a few of those until the final countdown comes of nuclear hell. No, I can't appeal to some of you about what your tax dollar is doing in South Africa to dehumanize. I can't reach you to say what's happening in South Korea at this time. South Koreans won't even allow any contact with their loved ones in North Korea. And one-third of the nation is imprisoned. One-third of the nation is either under house arrest, in trial proceedings, or in prisons. In a nation that had a 5,000 history of being unified, USA promised, Carter promised, with so such whispering sounds of assurance that the troops, the 30,000 troops, and the U.S. nuclear weapons would be pulled out of that fascist dictatorship that bought off so many white congressmen through the KCIA, and yet not one of them has gone to jail. Yet Congressman Diggs has never taken a bribe, faces 37 different felony counts and 175 years in jail because he's black. Rich black, too, owns several funeral parlors, but he's black, child. You're poor, last I looked. All of you here, Jews, whites, and black. You're poorer than Diggs, but he couldn't make it, you see. You say, well, I can make it. In your mind, you must think so. What were you going to do? Close your heart off against what all was being done to black people? The political prisoners? They're being held right now, like the Wilmington 10. I could name 100 others. The 90% of the prisons and jails in USA that are filled with black people, Indian people. And if you want to be a Jew and stand up for your real identity, you'll go there too, because the radical Jew, he had to leave the country. You got to be a sellout. You got to be an ass kisser. How are you going to live with yourself? Please don't give me any more talk about how you came here to want to fight a guerrilla revolution, that you want to step here from this outpost and move to other places to fight for liberation in Africa. And that's possible down the road. My dear, until you have lost all the lust for the corrupt society that you left behind the Babylon, the flesh pots of Egypt, the murderous USA, the streets that killed so many of our youth, the conspirators that even some of them came right out of our own nest that murdered a good guy like Chris Lewis. Yeah, he made mistakes, but he was spunky enough to stand up for his father when some of you would have retired and wouldn't have been there. And how cruelly they killed him and orphaned his child. We have it firsthand. How many more experiences do we have to have? How many, many, many young blacks are being killed? If we have one, we can pinpoint. That conspiracy still rages, but we can be protected from it if we'd only work, if we would only attempt to try to find ideas how to make this place successful. Since Tropp took a look at himself, I've had only two people that have submitted to me statements about themselves besides him. And the two most thorough that looked at themselves were Laura Johnson and Mike Prokes. Where are all of you people at that you're ready to fight a revolution? You want to be right out gung-ho, take your line for international socialism, take our stand right out on this hill? Well, maybe it's time to wait. Maybe it's time to be non-aligned like Ghana is doing, receiving the Chinese who've done good things on the domestic scene, receiving the Soviets who are doing great things on the international scene. One thing, whatever questions you may have about the perfectibility of human beings under communism, a communal form of government is working here that's given you more guarantees than anybody on this damned earth has today.